This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Gene Purcell. The holidays are filled with traditions, and returning to these traditions can be one of the comforting and memorable parts of the season. Alyssa Segong found a new way to be part of an old tradition in her family.
My name is Alyssa Segong, and I come from a German family predominantly, about half German on both my mother and my father's side, with a big smorgasbord of Luxembourg and Poland and other ethnicities thrown in there. I have a very nostalgic family, and I've been fortunate to be one of four living generations. I grew up knowing my great-grandparents and a great-great-aunt really well, and their nostalgia for traditions of the farm days in Kenosha and the parties that happened before my birth really stuck with me and still do. And I think that as a mother myself now, I have wanted to find a way to become a part of that nostalgia and put myself into that story. One way that that has happened has been the rebirth of the tradition of the Christmas brandy old-fashioned. Legend has it that my great-great-aunt threw the very best Christmas parties and was a generous hostess, and she and her husband would have a little bar in the basement where they'd mix up brandy old-fashioneds, which was special for Christmas because normally everybody drank brandy with water. So the brandy old-fashioneds at Christmas were legendary, and brandy Alexander's after dinner. And a few years ago, my aunt started hosting a Christmas feast inspired by great-great-aunt Lil's Christmas feast. And so, of course, brandy old-fashioneds were a key component. But where did I fit into that tradition? And I came across a recipe for old-fashioned bitters on America's Test Kitchen, and I thought, that's it. That is my place in this story. And I began researching it and reading through the detailed instructions of making these infusions of mugwort and, you know, all this alchemy that happened. And I knew that that was just my piece of the story. So I set up mason jars and made all my infusions and mixed them and surprised everybody with the Christmas brandy old-fashioned bottle of bitters for the feast itself and for them to take home and remember the rest of the year, hopefully. And the 2013 batch is ready for unwrapping.
That story was produced by Judith Sears Poisson.
Wisconsin Life is produced by Erica Janik. This episode was produced in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. For more information, visit wisconsinlife.org.
Here to explain now some of the ethnic origins of our holiday traditions is Jim Leary. He's a professor of folklore and Scandinavian studies at UW-Madison. He's director of the Center for the Study of Upper Midwestern Cultures. Jim, welcome back to Central Time.
Glad to be here.
Well, that's got to be a favorite tradition in Wisconsin. Alyssa shared the story of the family brandy old-fashioned tradition. Now, does the brandy old-fashioned come to Germany, or is there some mystery there?
Well, it's a famous Wisconsin drink, of course, and requisites a lot of fish fries. There's a lot of different ways to make it, including my first taste of it that was sort of a fake version with 7-Up and brandy. and that was with an old fella who was born in 1885. His parents had come over from Ireland, but back in 2006, Jerry Minnick, who wrote a wonderful food column for Isthmus here in Madison and did other food writing, looked deeply into the brandy old-fashioned, which has been a kind of a mainstay of Wisconsin drinking. And, of course, we're up there among the leaders in brandy consumption. And he discovered that it really emerged kind of in the wake of the Columbian Exposition of 1893, when Korbel, which is kind of like the default brandy in Wisconsin, made a kind of a big push and a big splash. And so this was like a popular culture drink, fad drink that became a part of Wisconsin life in the late 19th century, and in part because, you know, there are so many Germans in the state. I think it's been partly associated with Germans, but I know plenty of Irish and Norwegians and Czechs and people of other background who enjoy the brandy old fashioned. But I also like her infusion of bitters, because that's you know the making of kind of medicinal drinks and infusions with different. She mentioned mugwort. You know, my daughter does different kinds of things, and my wife, and out of the Scandinavian countries, and also kind of North Germany. There's this in Poland. There's this vodka kind of tradition or spirits where you have. Have all kinds of things from honey to birch twigs to caraway to who knows what, raspberries, you know, in it. So all of these traditions are, you know, they're very much a part of life here, and I think they've gotten a kind of a resurgence, too, with all this sort of local brewing and local spirit making as well.
So the brandy old-fashioned is not from the old country, but some of those infused spirits are.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, and for years, I live in Mount Horeb, and one of our treats would be to go down to New Glarus and eat at one of the great Swiss restaurants, and then there was a tavern we like to go to, and we'd get some Appenzeller bitters that have all these different ingredients made by the monks for digestion, and at one point we were there, and the bartender said, "Well, I'm sorry, we don't have it." And I said, "Oh man, this has been such a treat for us, you know." And he reached under the bar and came out with a bottle and poured us some. And then it was astronomically expensive. And I found out the Food and Drug Administration made it difficult to import because it didn't list all of the ingredients. So when people would go to Switzerland, the fellow would ask them to bring a bottle back.
Contraband bitters. I love it.
Yeah.
Well, here's another big tradition, moving away from the alcohol. Of course, the Christmas tree. We're seeing those spring up all over the country. What's the origin of the Christmas tree coming to the United States?
Well, you know, these are old pre-Christian kinds of things, you know, the evergreen that stands out, and of course the tree, you know, reaching up to the gods and so forth. And Germans, you know, brought it here to the United States, and certainly they were coming to Wisconsin as early as the 1830s. It got like a big popular culture boom in 1840s and 1850s because a lot of sort of the East Coast tastemakers in the United States were looking, you know, they always looked to England, and Queen Victoria's husband Albert was German, and they introduced the Christmas tree, and it became kind of chic. But you know, we were already way ahead of those hipsters here in Wisconsin, as usual. And then a lot of Scandinavian people came over, and the Christmas tree, the Yule tree, which you put candles on and historically and dance around and sing, has been part of their tradition for centuries. And so it was just kind of brought over here as well.
So Germans and Scandinavians are doing this already, but it didn't make the leap from them to everyone else until Queen Victoria did it.
Yeah, right. That's right.
So our obsession with British royalty didn't start with Princess Diana.
No, or with Masterpiece Theater.
Right.
No.
Oh, here's a tradition that I associate with the Polish side of my family, celebrating Christmas, not on Christmas Day, but Christmas Eve. That is the peak time of year. Is that just us Polish people or others too?
It's really important with a lot of people, although... I mean Germans as well, but Polish. You know, I spent some time 30 years ago with a lot of Polish people who would have a lot of meatless dishes, fish and cheese and various other things, as well as honeyed vodka and beer, or pivo on Christmas Eve. But then there was this wafer, the opodic, where everyone would have a little piece of this, and then you might sing Przybyszeli do Bethlehem, or some of these. There's some beautiful Polish carols as well. But yeah, Christmas Eve, very, very important for a lot of people.
Jim, do you have a favorite ethnic Wisconsin holiday tradition that we haven't talked about yet?
Well, you know, I heard the previous piece about homelessness, and there's kind of a family tradition that came through the Welsh Catholic side of my family, and they'd also lived in Wales for a while, but it's a story that actually came out of the 1890s about a small child wandering homeless and cold in the great city looking for a place to stay. And, of course, he's turned down by, you know, various wealthier, well-to-do families and starts moving to a poorer and poorer part of town and then sees a light in a little place where a poor mother and her children are having their simple Christmas, and he knocks on the door and is welcomed in. Anyway, it turns out he's the Christ wandering, and he, you know, transforms into light and kind of goes rising up into the sky. And in my family, that was always read on Christmas Eve, and often by the youngest child, where we'd have a gathering of the extended family. And my mother made it into like a handwritten book that all seven of us kids have. Anyway, that's kind of a favorite of mine.
All right. Well, I'll share a quick story about the Polish Christmas Eve wafer. My mother's late grandmother, Polish, one year gave out the wafer to all of us, and it was really tough and chewing. We thought, oh, she's probably had this sitting for years around, and it's gone bad. In fact, she started laughing after we all had it in our mouths. She'd taken styrofoam and pranked us all on Christmas Eve. And after she had a good laugh, she got out the real wafers. Thankfully, that didn't turn into an annual tradition. We got wise to her. Jim, thank you so much for joining us today. Really appreciate it.
A pleasure.
That was Jim Leary, professor of folklore and Scandinavian studies at UW-Madison, director of the Center for the Study of Upper Midwestern Cultures.